angels. Luke chapter 2, earlier in the story, in the same region, in verse 8, there were some shepherds staying out in the field and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is well pleased." Let's pray. What an amazing message, so unexpected. Those men were not looking for that night, but neither was really anyone. And so, Father, be with us to be able to hear your unexpected messages and to know them when we get them. And then have faith enough to act when we hear. Thank you, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As Jenny said a little while ago, in the Christmas story, angels are everywhere. Now, this is where so many skeptics want to get off the bus, because people say, you know, there's angels here, I've never seen an angel. And I know you're tempted to say, well, that's because God doesn't like you. No, you don't want to say that. But this was the birth of the Son of God. This was the birth of God's only Son. In heaven, it's kind of a big deal that the Word, the Son, was leaving his throne and coming down to earth. Do you really think that God in all of heaven is going to entrust us getting that right? No, I wouldn't either. We need help. And so the angels come with these amazing messages. And at that exact moment, bigger perhaps in heaven here on earth, the angels were celebrating all that God was doing. It was time to pull out all the stops. But let me ask, if you're one of those skeptics who says, well, I've never seen an angel, how do you know? Remember the old TV show, Touched by an Angel? Those two angels went everywhere and nobody knew until that light comes down at the end. And the person they're working with is going, what? You know, by the way, when Touched by an Angel was on CBS, that was the number one show on television. And the executives at CBS hated it because it was so, what's the word, Christian. And they kept trying to cancel it. But their accountants are going, let me show you the bottom line this show has here. Yeah. So it wasn't until Roma Downey said she wanted to go do something else that they finally were able to get. But it's still at the top in all the reruns. Touched by an Angel. How do you know you haven't seen an angel? Jenny mentioned Abraham and Sarah. They didn't know. These angels showed up with a message from God that this elderly couple who have never been able to have a child was going to have a child within a year. They didn't know. Sarah thought, these are three comedians out here. They were angels. They didn't know. And later, when Lot is there in Sodom, he didn't know that those were angels coming to visit him. How How do you know? In Hebrews, in the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, the Word of God says, let love of the brethren continue, but do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. For by this some have entertained angels without knowing. How do you know you've never seen an angel? For if you show the hospitality of Jesus Christ, you may well entertain angels without ever knowing. As Jenny mentioned a little while ago, literally the word angel in Greek means messenger. These are the ones who God uses to give his messages to us. Whether they come in shining, brilliant light, or if they come looking just like the people sitting around you. How do you know you're not sitting next to an angel? But the messages that angels bring are always simple. They know their audience. There is no ambiguity. There is no confusion. It's simple. In the passage in Luke we looked at, the angel simply says, a Savior has been born. This is what you need to know. A Savior has been born. And he is Christ, the Anointed One. Christ the Lord. And he's been born here, in this place, in the city of David, Bethlehem. Even we would get that right. We would hear the simple message that God's messenger has for us. A Savior. Who is the Savior? He is Christ the Lord. Here is the simple message that the shepherds needed to hear. And what about poor Joseph? Don't you kind of feel bad for Joseph in the Christmas story? Joseph always kind of gets pushed off to the side. But Joseph is important. And Joseph, in Matthew's gospel and throughout the Christmas story, he's got a real problem. He's a good guy. And he's going to marry this girl, and they're engaged. And she comes to him and says, I'm pregnant. And what a whopper of a story she's got. And he knows he's not the father, but he's a good man. Whew. What an imagination this girl has. So let me just kind of send her out of town or something quietly. But an angel comes to him. And in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So God takes the stories of the angel visiting Mary. Mary, don't be afraid. Joseph, don't be afraid. The shepherds, don't be afraid. The story with Zechariah. And he puts them all together in this book we call the Bible so that we have all of these amazing stories of this simple message. Because I love you, God says. Because I love you, I'm going to send to you my only son, I'm going to give him to a young woman and a man. And he will come into the world as a baby. The Word will become flesh this way. And he will be Christ the Lord. He will be a Savior. And he will save people from their sins. It's a simple message. And yet, we still struggle with it. We still don't quite know what to do with it. The shepherds got it. Let's get up. Let's go. Let's go to Bethlehem and see. More about them next week. Let me give you two thoughts before we leave here today about angels. There's a Lutheran pastor up in Wisconsin named Eric Roker. And he points out that the struggle that so much of us have, so many of the people on this earth, because remember, the angel said that this is good news for all people, is that we fail to understand what the child has come to save us from. Do you have angels on your Christmas tree? We do. We've had one at the top of our Christmas tree as long as I can remember. If she were real, and we would hear from that angel, we would want to be saved from a lot of different things. Lord, save me from my financial issues. Save me from my physical problems. Save me from my relationship choices. Lord, save me from 10th grade. Save me from a bad work situation. Save me. Most people want to be saved from all of these things, but too often what we're doing is we're asking God to save us from the symptoms and not the real problem. The angel did not want there to be any confusion about what Jesus had come to save us from. The angel told Joseph plainly that Mary will give a birth to a son, and you shall give him the name Jesus, because he will save people from their sins. Our sin is our greatest need. This is what he's come to save us from. It's not that Jesus isn't concerned about our finances or concerned about our relationships, concerned about our jobs, concerned that we get through 10th grade. He is concerned about all of these things. But Jesus has his priorities in order as he comes to us, as he comes to us as the great physician. Imagine if you were having an attack of appendicitis. Your appendix was about to burst. You rush to the emergency room, and a plastic surgeon comes in and says, I think I can fix that nose. And I can clean up some of those scars you got there. And, I can make you probably look 15 years younger. I'm going to die if you don't fix my appendix. Aren't we glad that Jesus understands where our pain is? That he understands where our problem is. Because too often the roles are reversed. We think the problem is I need to get my nose fixed. I need to get scars cleaned up. When the real problem is I'm going to die. And there's only one who can save me. And he's trying to get us to understand. And so that's us. Eric Roker says, we lie in spiritual emergency rooms with all sorts of financial and emotional and relational problems, but our single biggest problem is our sin. We've never been able to escape it. And this is what Jesus came to do. He will save his people from their sins. And that is exactly what the angel would want us to hear. Brothers and sisters, we need to be able and willing to stop. And at Christmas, it's hard. A couple of Amy Grant songs I like where she's singing about this same issue. There's so much stuff. There's so much noise. We need a silent night. We need to stop and be able to hear what God is saying to us. Because so often we're missing the message that God has for us, the personal message. Do you hear what I hear? The angel is speaking God's message to me, speaking God's message to you. When I was first semester in seminary, the Saturday before classes started the following week, they had a picnic for all the incoming students, and all the professors were there, and this guy comes up to me and introduces himself and says, so what are you taking this semester? And I told him, and he said, who are you taking for Old Testament? And I said, I'm taking Dr. Rogers. And he said, oh, the whispering prophet. Really? Okay. So I go to class next week, sitting there in my usual spot, the Baptist spot on the back row, and Dr. Rogers comes in. And he goes straight to the podium. He pulls out his notes. He puts his left hand on his hip, the right hand on the lectern, and he starts reading his notes. And I really quickly found out why they called him the whispering prophet. The Hebrews and the third century would, in fact, and I'm going, what? What did he say? Is that on the test? And what we need to know. Is it that there in chapter 4? The second day, I'm right here. What is it? Later, I found out about the prophet part. He loved Isaiah. And part of my job, because he was just reading his notes really fast, and we're all dying of terminal writer's cramp as we're trying to keep up. Part of my job in the class was to interrupt him, give us all a chance to breathe, give poor Diane a chance to find her pen that she dropped and she's now three chapters behind. And I asked him, I said, Dr. Rogers, do you really feel that God still uses prophets today? And he straightened up and he spoke in a voice all people could hear. I knew you could do it. And he said, well, Mr. Parrish, that's a very good question. What do you think, class? Who would be the contemporary prophets of our time? Somebody said Martin Luther King. Somebody else said Billy Graham. Nobody else had much else. And he said, yes, King, yes, Graham. Is that all? And he starts enumerating all of the prophets who were contemporary to Isaiah. And then he comes around the podium and he looks at us and he says, so my question for you today, is it a case that God no longer uses prophets? Or is it a case that we no longer know how to listen? That's not going to be on the test, but boy, I'm writing that down. We no longer know how to listen. We don't know how to hear the angels. We don't listen. We don't know how to hear the Holy Spirit speaking to us. We don't know how to hear the true word of God coming from his prophets. And so we pray, God, here's what I think I need. And we're almost always wrong. Because God knows we have a deeper need, a deeper issue, a sin issue. And he's got to deal with that first before he can begin to fix anything else. Don't you remember the paralytic? Jesus is teaching. The four guys come and bring their friend who's been paralyzed. They can't get in. They cut a hole in the roof. They lower him down. And Jesus is looking at all the critics right on the front row. And he asks them, tell me, which is easier, to tell this man to get up and walk or to forgive him of his sins? And they went, I don't know. And Jesus said, yeah, I know you don't know. Watch. He doesn't say, get up. He says, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. What good does it do to raise the man up and let him walk when he's still in his sin? He's going to be able to walk home and die and go to hell. What good does it do? Save him from his sin and then let him run home. Healed and free. And rejoicing in eternity. So often the failure of evangelical Christians is that we're willing to give food, we're willing to give water so that people are not hungry, and people are not thirsty, and leave them lost, caught in their sin. We need to be able to hear the angels sing. We need to be able to hear the angels' message. We need to be able to hear from God. I am sending my son to save his people from their sin. Let's pray. Father, at the end of the day, all the issues that we've got in this world come down to sin. All the issues. Environmental issues, crime issues, marriage issues, relational issues. They all come down to sin. Sin like pride. Sin like greed. Sin like idolatry, where we raise ourselves up above you. We're worshiping ourselves far more than we worship you. Sin. It is a very simple message that the angels bring. For unto us has been born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Oh, and Joseph, he is coming to save his people from their sin. So, Father, yeah, we got a lot of problems. Relational problems, financial problems, job problems, 10th grade. We got problems. But the root of all of those problems is sin. If we would follow you, it would be amazing how so quickly those financial problems would dry up. If we would follow you, it's amazing how easy suddenly all of those super difficult relational problems would go away, be made right. And Father, even if we're worrying about 10th grade, just where we are in life, if we trust you, then we know that you've got something better for us on the other side. Through that door, there's a better way. We just got to trust you. Because no matter how stuck, messed up things are right now, this minute, we can have hope through Jesus Christ. Someday we'll be in 11th grade. Then someday we'll be in 12th grade. And we'll be thinking we're free at that point. Father, as long as we're in your hands, no matter where we are, we're okay. And we don't need to worry. Even in the darkest corner of the valley of the shadow of death, we don't need to worry. We don't need to be afraid. It's a simple message. A Savior has been born. And He is Christ the Lord. Thank you, Father, for being with us. Bless us at this moment of invitation. And Father, if there's somebody here that's ready to be free of their sin, to get the real root of their struggles addressed and healed, forgiven, Lord, let them come and be saved. For a Savior has been born. The one who saves has come for them. Let them come. Maybe there are others that need to come and pray. They've been praying for symptoms, and Father, they need to pray to you to heal the root problem. Maybe they're praying for others. Maybe there's somebody here, Father, that's been looking for a church home, and at Christmas, your gift to them is First Baptist Sweetwater, a church home where they will be loved and cared for and cherished and grow in Christ and made to be the disciple you created them to be. Thank you, Father. As Arlene comes to lead us, as we stand and as we sing, Father, if you are calling people to come and receive all these wonderful gifts at Christmas, the gift of salvation, the gift of a church, the gift of prayer, however you're leading, we invite people to come and say yes to you. Thank you, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. Arlene's going to lead us. We're going to sing, and as God is calling you, will you come and say yes to Him?
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? For a drink from the well, Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Mistakes. There's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrow. joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
People said, amen. Amen. Let's have our kids come back in. Uh-oh. They've been a little slow today. Uh-oh, okay. Remember, parents, as long as you leave with the same number that you brought, that's okay. Again, so pleased that you're here. Our Christmas Eve service is at 5 o'clock on the 24th. And we look forward to having a great crowd that night. It's going to be a wonderful service. Again, kind of built around the idea of what are you giving for Christmas? Thinking about all that God has given you. Let's pray together. And Arlene's going to lead us as we go out. Father, thank you for all your goodness to us today. Lord, help us to be able to hear. Let us hear you. We've got to train our hearts to hear you. Hear your angels, to hear your prophets, to hear your Holy Spirit, to hear your message to us in this time, in our lives and in the lives of those we love and the life of our church. Help us to hear you. Thank you, Lord, for all of your blessings of Christmas, the gift of the wonderful angels. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Let's sing together. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. God bless you this week.